I had an unusual experience this week. We ended our 21 days of prayer Saturday night, and we just thoroughly enjoyed it. Sound like a little bassy. Can you take some of the bass out? It sounds a little bassy. We had 21 days of prayer, and what I did the majority of my time, I just worked here up to about 5:45, and we came up here at 6 o'clock, had prayer from 6 to 7. And I done that for about 90% of the 21 days, and on the 20th day, Friday night, we're over here working about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we ordered some carpet. The carpet is in for the auditorium now. Hallelujah. Come and say amen. So we're close. And they gave us a window, a real tight window from between 10 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon was going to be here. So we had the 8th grade boys lined up. How many know you don't have to be smart, just strong, good strong backs? And so we had all the 8th grade lined up to help us unload this. It was 1,000 pounds. That's what's the carpet. It was going to be 1,000 pounds. It was two rolls. And so we figured, you know, half and half. And so I figured, you know, 15, 20 of those kids, you know, they can hand it. Well, the guy calls it for something that he's coming. All the kids are gone. And he shows up, and he's in a mad dash. Well, then we open we said, well, listen, back up the 18-wheeler against the back door, and just so we can just scoot it out and scoot it right into the, you know, into the building. So he did. We opened the door, and there was one humongous roll of carpet, one little bitty roll of carpet. And so Ben and I are here by ourselves, and the guy is wanting to go home. He wants to get off. You know, it's five. It's Friday at, you know, getting near 5. And so we said, well, let's just start. So he gets up there to help us, and we start scooting this thing, this big roll, I don't know, 700 pounds, 800 pounds, scooting it toward that door. So I pick it up. I'm on the end, so I'm just picking up the end of it, just a part of the weight, and I'm trying to get over the threshold so we can get it into the thing. So they start doing it. So we start moving. So how many know when you start moving, you don't stop. You just keep on. Well, I had this thing on, and that thing, when it came off the truck, it body slammed me on the floor. I'm pow, and through, and I, you know, about 3 feet away, I got up off the floor with the thing. But so I thought, Ben said, oh, yeah, I'm okay. Well, I'm still back in the office. He goes on working. Well, about 5:45, 6 o'clock, I'm back there working, and I'm tired, and I'm getting hungry. 6:15, I think I've done 19 days of prayer, you know, and it worked. So about 6:15, 6:30, I said, I'm hungry. I think I'll go on home. And I get in my car, my truck back in the back. I lock up the building, and I drive up. It's dark. I see all these cars up this building. I said, I wonder what's happening up here in the front. This is the truth. I said, 19 days I've done this. I said, I wonder what's going on in the front. Then I said, oh, Ben's probably having his college group tonight. And Friday night, it was Kirby's night to lead prayer. And I saw Kirby's car. I said, I wonder what's Kirby's car doing. I guess Ben needed another musician or somebody. So I drive home. And I get in Jasmine's car's at home. I said, I wonder where Jasmine is. And then I thought, well, maybe I worked a little bit long too late, you know, one night, you know. And I figured she must have been mad at me. She went out with her friends, you know. So this is my process. I go inside, and Alyssa, some of the boys, her boys had been a little sick. And so she was in there. She would just talk. She never said anything while I'm home. I fix me a sandwich. I go and I sit on the bed. And I'm in another world. I hear in about 45 minutes, Jasmine comes home, and she comes in. She comes in, she talks a little while, and then she says, they were asking, where were you at the prayer meeting? Come on, somebody. So we have now set in place some protocols for concussions here at the Victory Harvest Church. Oh, what to take people through. That was a weird day. So if I happen to go off in Zuzu land today, that's the reason why, you'll know. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. How many have children? How many have little children that are speaking like that? When I was a child, Paul said, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. He got here this morning. I'm having a blast. There's 11 of us in one home, and 5 of them is under 4 years old. Come on, somebody. So it is not a dull house where we live right now. And a lot of mornings they come in and jump in bed with me. And I'm going to tell you some of the thinking processes that go on. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And in fact, one translation, the King James says, I put away childish things. So what I want to talk to you today is this. Everybody say when. I want to talk to you about catch your second, not wind, but when. Catch your second wind. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We ask for your grace to help us understand and to help us, Lord, do what we cannot do by ourselves. We look to your strength. We look to your help. We look to your guidance. We look to your wisdom. Lord, you are our life, and we need you, Lord, and we give all the glory to you because you are our help and our life. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen today. Amen. You can be sedated. I don't know if you've ever been a runner or if you've ever been a sports, you've ever been an athlete or any kind, but you catch, there are seasons when in some contests, some games, some things where you catch your second wind. Some of you may do that work-wise. You know, anybody know somewhere around 1 o'clock is very tough after you ate lunch and try not to go to sleep and you kind of catch your second wind. And so I want to talk to you today about catching your second wind. Paul says, when I was a child, and I wanted to use that. I want to talk about catching your second wind. He said, there was the when I was a child and then when I became an adult, I put away childish things. And it has to do, the theme of it, it has to do with changing, being willing to change, growing up. Look at somebody say, grow up. What did you say? Grow up. Grow up. The win of childhood and the win of adulthood. And so let's talk about that today. I want to talk to you about catching your second win. The win of childhood. There are people who are trapped into protracted childhood. You ever met somebody that really never grew up? They may be 40 years old, but they act like they're a teenager. They act like they're, you know, a kid, and how they react, what they say, their emotions, their practices. You've been born again, but you're trapped in childhood, and that is the wind of childhood, and you need to catch your second wind. The wind represents just being in the kingdom. I think the beginning part of when you're the wind of your childhood, that's when you're born into the kingdom of God, and you're a child in the kingdom of God. And Paul is speaking poetically about his walk with God. He said, I started when I was, you know, when I first got saved, I was like a child. And he said, the same is true in the kingdom of God as in the physical. So in the kingdom, you come in, you don't know a lot. You start, you learn, you understand some stuff. But he said, it's always expected of you to grow up. It's always expected of you to catch your second wind. So let me give you a few things I've seen with people that have been trapped in their first win of childhood, and they've never grown beyond that. Let me give you just a few ideas here and so you understand it. Number one is I found those that are trapped in their childhood stage and never outgrow it are people that cannot get over their past. That is the number one thing that I have found. Listen, you can't change your past and you can't change the mistakes, but you can't change anything about your past. But so what you've got to do is you've got to begin to live past your past. You need to come to the place where you close the book on your past. Because if you let your past always dictate your future, then you're bound to be in childhood the rest of your life. And there are things that happen, and you know that God has a second wind for you. I like the book of Samuel. There's a prophet named Samuel who was a great prophet of the Old Testament. But when he was born, his mother's name was Hannah, and my grandmother's name was Hannah. I like that name because guess what Hannah is spelled backwards? Hannah! So my grandmother, and so her name was Hannah, and her husband's name was Elkanah. And Hannah couldn't have a baby, and so she went before the Lord, and Eli the priest gave her a prophetic word that you're going to have a baby. She had a baby. And she said, if I have a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord. And she did. She literally dedicated this child to the Lord, and they went year after year, and then the day came when the child was weaned, and Hannah then took that child to the temple and gave him to Eli the priest to live in the temple. And I like what it says in 1 Samuel 2:18. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did she make a robe every year for this little boy? And there was a possibility he may have worn it out. If you got kids, you understand that. But really, a robe, the reason she made a robe every year was he outgrew the other one. You're not expected to live in the temple and not grow. You're not expected to come to church a lot of your life and not grow. You're not expected to come to church and in 20 years still be in the same shape you were in 20 years ago. The same childish behavior, the same childish things. You are to grow. Everybody say amen. Amen. You're supposed to grow in the things of God and grow in your gifts and grow in your anointing and grow in your love and grow in your faith. You're supposed to grow. You're not supposed to stay the same. And that's why she did that. Listen, God's got a bigger coat for you than the one you're wearing right now. He wants to make a bigger coat for you. He doesn't want you to be. So she did that to because he kept growing. We're not supposed to come and do that in your vision. God's got a bigger coat. You know, Paul got on the Hebrews because of this. Look what he wrote the Hebrew church. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles. You need milk and not solid food. He said, you've been in church for years and you're still wearing the same coat. You haven't grown, you haven't matured, you haven't grown up in the things of God or your own life. You need to grow up. You know, one of the things about you need to do this, listen, God's got a bigger garment for us, but the problem many people is they can't get past their past. God's got people, listen, God's people aren't limited to what happened in their past. Never say, I cannot be because of, and then list something in your past. Let me tell you the answer to a bad past, a Holy Ghost future. Come on, somebody. Doesn't matter what your past was. Paul says just because something happened in your past, your childhood, you don't have to live there. You can put away childish things. You can put it away. I like what Jabez was a man that had a bad past in the Old Testament. He says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That means he had some brothers that weren't too honorable. Any of you got a few relatives that aren't too honorable? Been around him a little bit. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. How many know it was probably a pretty tough delivery? That's his background. I cause my mother pain. I cause other. I live in a group of family that's dishonorable and they're all da da da. Jabez called upon the God of Israel saying, oh God, I can never be nothing because my past is so bad. Is that what he said? Do you know what he said? I may have a bad past, but I want a Holy Ghost future. And he said, God, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, that you might keep me from harm, so it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Gave him a bigger garment than he had before. So God wants us to go. You know what? Listen, God wants to give you a good past. Read the story of Joseph. Just read the story of the Bible. Joseph was a great man of God, but read his past. Man, he had a dysfunctional family. He had a daddy that his name means cheater. How many know when you got a? I remember I won't tell that story. I just thought about it. There is stories where you've got relatives where they may not be good. Your parents may not have been good. Your mom, your dad, or your brother, your sister, very dysfunctional. His dad was a cheater. I mean, is a liar and a cheater. Jacob, had his name changed and he was changed later on in his life. But when Joseph was growing up, he was a cheater. Joseph had brothers who tried to kill him and then sold him off as a slave. I don't know how bad your brother and sister treat you, but none of them probably sold you as a slave. Is that right? They might have stole your clothes and wore them and stole your money and da-da-da-da, but they never sold you off as a slave. And Joseph gets put in prison and lied about and cheated on and forgotten and all that kind of stuff and on and on and on. And so when it happens, he's abused most of his childhood, but he never allowed that childhood to keep him from going on his second wind in God. When I was a child, this happened to me. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. He had such a relationship with God that when Potiphar's wife tempted him, he refused and on. But now it's the second you catch it. Joseph had such a touch of God. The Bible says he said, well, why did he need to do that with Pharaoh's wife? Because of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments had not even been written yet during the days of Joseph. He just had such a relationship with God. He did not allow his past to contaminate his future. He grew in God, and he had a bad past dysfunction, but God blessed him. And the Bible says this, when Joseph became an adult, he pulled away childish things. This is what it says. Joseph called the name of his firstborn son Manasseh. And for God has made me forget. Everybody say forget. You know what Joseph did? Keep that scripture up here. He has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. You know what he could have done? He could have played those memories and started that memory machine over and over, remembering what happened in his childhood, remembering what they did to him, remembering how bad he was, remembering the dysfunctional, remembering. The Bible says his first child, he named him Manasseh. And one translation means, Hebrew means, the Lord has made me forget. But one translation says it this way. It says, he was telling his past to shut up. Some of you need to tell your past to shut up. But Mama, no, you're not supposed to say that kind of word. He named his first child Past Shut Up. That was the name of his first, Manasseh. The name of his first child was Past Shut Up. Why would you name your child that? Because you ought to see my past. Dysfunctional family. Daddy was a cheater. He was a liar. He did all this. My brothers hated me just because I wore a coat of a different color. How many know that some of us, we just can't get past somebody who's got a coat of a different color than us? Come on, somebody. Pass, everybody say, pass, shut up, would you? It's not what I was, it's what I'm going to be. It's not what I've done, it's what I'm going to do. I know some of you done some stuff. Hey, tell your past to shut up. Give birth to a Manasseh in your life and tell your past to shut up. Come on, somebody. And then guess what he named his second child? The name of the second child he called Ephraim. You know what Ephraim means? Fruitfulness. Because God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let me tell you what, you'll never give birth to an Ephraim until you give birth to a Manasseh. You tell your past to shut up. And then you're going to watch the fruitfulness of your life. Amen. Stop being limited by your past. Say, I got a Holy Ghost future. What God wants. God doesn't want you to live in the memories of yesterday. Behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. Amen. David, read the life of David. David, you know, many of us read his life. We don't realize some of the things that took place. But do you remember when the prophet Samuel comes to David's house? And he asks Jesse, the dad, bring all of your sons in here, and I'm going to see whom the Lord has chosen. And Jesse brings all of his sons, and he lines them all up, and they were all busy doing something. They were all doing something. They're workers. They're not lazy. They were all working. They're all doing. So he calls them all from their jobs and brings them in there, and Samuel goes down the line, and God says, no. And Samuel, when he gets to the end of the line, is confused because here is Jesse has brought all of his kids, and he knew God said, go down here and anoint a king, at one of the sons of the house of Jesse. And so finally, Samuel is confused, and he's praying the Lord, and I feel the Lord said, ask Jesse if he has another boy. And he asks him, do you have any other sons? And hear Jesse's response. Yeah, one more. Now, we always used to think that was because he was busy out there tending sheep. But all the boys were doing something. All the boys were doing something. And you know what let me show you this. You know what some many scholars believe about David? Is what David said about himself in Psalms 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Many scholars believe that David was an illegitimate son of David, or son of Jesse. That David was an illegitimate son of Jesse. And so when Jesse, the Lord, this holy thing of the anointing of the prophet, when go bring your sons, he brings them all except his illegitimate boy. What could God do with an illegitimate boy? Listen, everybody say, pass, shut up. Would you say that? And the Bible says and the reason why many believe that is because of that verse right there. And they believe Jesse didn't bring him because of it, but God chose David anyway. David never allowed his past to contaminate his future, what God was going to do with him. And let me tell you something. A proverb says a righteous man will fall seven times but keeps getting back up because he keeps catching his second wind. So God wants you to put away the childish things of yesterday and catch your second wind. I don't care how old or how young or how whatever it may be. Catch your second wind. God's got a bigger garment for you than what you've got right now. Don't think it's over. I'm going to live till I die. Some people die and they're not buried until 20 years later. Did you catch that? When I was a child, I put away. Now, you need to understand this. In this translation, I want you to look at this, 1 Corinthians 13:11. Do you have this in King James? Can you put it up there in King James? I don't know how fast that can be done. But it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up. Everybody say, I. And the King James says, I put away. I like that. I like that thought. I put away childish things. Listen, he did not say God put them away for me. He says, I put them away. I gave them up. I put them away. I put them away. I remember this one time in our children's room when the kids were little. We put all kinds of says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish thing. God didn't put them away for me. I put them away. I remember one time when the kids were little, we used to put all kinds of decorations on the wall. Mickey Mouse and da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, we were so busy in life, we just kind of never took those things down. And in Ben's room, they had Mickey Mouse. What else we had in there? Donald Duck and a few of the other things. And one day when Ben was in high school, come on, somebody. Junior high, his mom is protecting him now. She began to talk about his room, how cute his room is. It's got Donald Duck up there and Mickey Mouse. Guess what happened? That afternoon, everything was gone from the walls. There wasn't one thing left because he put away childish things. So you got to decide whether God's not going to do it for you. There are some things that God tells you to do. Put away childish. You put them away. Put away. You've got to put some things away if you're going to catch your second wind. Some of you need to put some things away. Some of you need to put away some little touchy feelings that you get upset about when somebody don't say hello to you on a Sunday morning. Because you ain't never going to grow up if you don't put away some touchy little feelings. Bitterness. Some of you need to put away some bitterness. One of David's mightiest men, his name was Abibadat, something like that, one of those strange names. And you know when Absalom, his son, turned against David, this commander went with Absalom and turned against David. And you wonder, why did that commander go against David? And when you read his history, guess who he was? He was the grandfather of Bathsheba. You think he'd held some bitterness in his heart about what David did with Bathsheba and Uriah and killed her husband and took her on, and then their first child dies and all that they did. And somewhere deep in his heart, he held on to that bitterness against David. And when the chance came, it matured. It came to pass. And he turned against David. If you're going to make it from childhood to manhood, you got to put away some childish things. Now, I like this. One of the biggest things you got to put away if you're going to grow from a child to a man, you got to put away stupid thinking. That's theological. That's really deep theologically. Let me give it to you in the Bible. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. I like this is a Message Bible. Read this. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. Listen, your attitude is the paintbrush of your mind. Now, I want you to hear very clearly. Your attitude is the paintbrush of your mind. Your attitude is the paintbrush of your mind. It colors everything. I remember one of the stupid ways to think is always wanting to be somebody else. Now, I think that's pretty stupid, always want to be somebody else, because you're never going to be somebody else. But I like this. I did like one. It was this lady that I read her little thing. She wanted to be a bear. She said, my next life. She entitled this thing, in my next life, I want to be a bear. And you know what she said? Let me see if I can read this. If you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. Come on, I can get into that. Before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. I could be a bear. Come on, somebody. You birth your children the size of a walnut while you're sleeping. And you wake up, and they're partially grown already, cuddly cubs. Come on, somebody. If you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. You swat anyone that bothers your cubs, and if your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. If you're a bear, your mate expects you to wake up growling. And he expects you that you'll have hairy legs. Come on, somebody. And he expects that you will have excess body fat. Come on, somebody. I could be a bear. All right. Go back again to wise thinking. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. You can alter your life by altering your mind. You really can. You get the right thinking. Whatever you fill your mind with is what you will become. And if you fill it with stupid stuff, you're going to be stupid the rest of your life. If you fill it with wise things, you're going to grow from your... You're going to put away childish things, and you can go... And one of the biggest things, the devil lies to us continually about ourselves. And if you start thinking stupid, he will confirm it. Yes, yeah, yeah, more, oh, yeah, And I like this. This is a lady that does talks about children, and it doesn't come from a Christian perspective. But I thought this would be a moving thing for some of you this morning and help you. Watch this, because sometimes moms can really think stupid about themselves. All right, and here you'll understand what I mean. Watch this.
Hey guys, I decided to film in my car today because it is so quiet in here. I kind of love it. So I know that a lot of you parents feel inadequate at times or carry guilt about things. So I wanted to share with you a personal story that I'm hoping will help. I'm taking you back now 10 years ago. I was newly divorced with two little kids, a 2 and a 3-year-old. I was obviously overwhelmed, completely broke. Food stamps, sharing a bedroom with my children, couldn't even afford my own bed, so I slept on the floor next to my kids' bunk beds, and I was really depressed. I mean, really, I was not in a good place. And as all that isn't bad enough, I had a few people in my life making me feel like a horrible mom, which doesn't help when you already feel like a complete loser, right? So I end up with some free therapy sessions, and I'm talking to my therapist one day, and I tell him that I feel like I've become just a crappy mother. And he asks for some examples. So I tell him, well, before my divorce, I used to cook these from scratch, nutritious meals for my kids. And now I just cook something out of a box. And before my divorce, I used to take my kids everywhere. We used to go to parks and museums. And now a lot of days I just stick them in front of the TV, sometimes for hours, so that I can hide in the bedroom and cry. And I went on and on with these examples, you know, obviously knowing that he's thinking, wow, she's really deteriorated as a mom. And when I was done, he looked at me so genuinely and he said, wow, Christina, you are an amazing mom. He said, you are at your rock bottom. You are in a really bad place. You still make sure that the needs of your children are met. You still take the time to go buy that box and boil that pasta. You are so depressed but you don't want them seeing that all the time, so you stick them in front of their favorite cartoons so they can laugh and be entertained while you hide in the bedroom and cry by yourself? That is so selfless. He literally, he took every single bad thing I said about myself and he turned it around and showed me that maybe I wasn't so bad of a mom. Maybe I was just doing the best I could under the circumstances. Listen, I know that we parents want to be extraordinary parents every single day. But there are days when we're just going to be okay parents. And you know what? That's great. That's good enough. So when you're feeling inadequate and you're beating yourself up over little things, do for yourself what that therapist did for me that day. And tell that inner critical voice to take a seat and zip it.
Everybody say wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. You know the snail? Did you know the snail made it on the ark? Do you ever think about that? The snail made it. The cheetah passed him right on by, he and his wife. The monkeys passed him right on by. Elephants almost stepped on him or passed him right on by. But Mr. Snail looked at Mrs. Snail and said, if we're just persistent, we're going to make it. If we just keep on keeping on, we're going to make it. So one of the keys is, listen, if I just stay faithful... Look at somebody, say, everybody might be passing me by. Say it to somebody, say, everybody might be passing me by, but I'm going to make it. Say, I'm going to make it. I'm putting away childish things. You know, sometimes some of the childish things you got to put away are the most dearest things that you ever had in your life. God called Abraham one time, and Abraham had to put away a childish thing, and that childish thing was his child. He had to lay that child on the altar and give him up to God. He put away that childish thing. And you read what happened. God said, when God stopped him, he said, now I know that you fear me. And now I know that you will be faithful. You know what God was saying? Here's your bigger garment, Abraham. You just moved from one stage of childhood. You just moved into maturity in God. And this morning, there are those that you've been caught in a perpetual childhood. You live in the same way you were 10 years ago. No change, no bigger coat, no bigger garment. You're still in the same old routine, same old responses, same old addiction, same old whatever. And this morning, I just felt the Lord tell me, saying, I'm ready to catch my second wind. Anybody say, I'm ready to catch my second wind this morning? Some of you are going to get a free from childish stuff. Some of the stuff the devil said you'd never get out of. Musicians, come on up, would you? I want musicians to come back up. You know, sometimes the devil tries to get you, put you into slavery and just keep you there. Continue. Let's sing that last song again. I'm no longer a slave to sin. And some of you, you're going to get free from childish. Some of you, the stuff the devil said you'd never get out of, God's saying, yeah, you can. Today I want you to just decide in your heart, I'm going to put away some childish things. I'm going to put away some childish things. Some of you might be dealing with attitudes about your own self. And especially moms, a lot of you moms. You know, and a parent, it's so hard, it's so easy to beat yourself up about what you should have done or not done. Whether your children are in home with you now or they're grown or they're gone, whatever. You can beat yourself up all day long about how you didn't do this and didn't do that. And you're just on and on. But listen, I like that. Listen, tell your past to shut up. And it's not what's happened. It's what you're going to do. It's not the things you. It's what you're going to do. It's not a crappy. It's your Holy Ghost future that God wants you to do. So everybody, stand up this morning, would you? I just felt the Lord tell me to preach that this morning for us to get beyond our childishness. And I want you just to begin to raise your hand and listen. You may not even know how to do this, but listen, God will give you wisdom. But you'll know how to begin to put away some things in your heart are coming up. Just close your eyes, would you? Some things in your heart's coming up that you need to put away. God's convicting you, and you need, I need to put that away. My past will not contaminate my future. It will not hinder me or stop me. I'm going to pray like Jabez. Oh, God, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my borders, that you would do things in me, God, that my past says can never happen, but I believe you can do it in my heart. I'll be like Joseph. I believe, Lord, I'm going to birth a Manasseh this morning. I'm going to tell my past to shut up, that I can birth my Ephraim. I become fruitful in the things of God. I'm not going to believe the lies of the devil and the lies of people around me that said, I'm this, I'm that, I'm bad, I didn't do well, I'm this, I'm a bad dad, I'm a bad mom, I'm a bad whatever. I'm going to believe God that I'm going to do great things. My children are going to be taught of the Lord. I'm going to cover them in prayer. I'm going to cover them by the blood of the Lord. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to put away childish things today and catch my second wind. I believe there's a bigger garment waiting for me. God's got a bigger garment for me. I'm growing in the house of God. I'm growing in the temple of the Lord. I'm going to grow in the things of God. So, Lord, I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer bound. Come on, everybody say, let's give the Lord a great clap offering this morning, would you? Come on. Come on, let's sing that song.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround
God.
I can, you know, some of you, the weight's coming off your, the guilt of your life, that you've been beat up with guilt. And all that you thought you should have done better, all, everybody here. But you need to tell your past to shut up. You just need to tell your past to zip it. It's over. It's done. And the answer to a bad past is the Holy Ghost's future. Say, God, I'm going to do, I'm going to make, God, I know this has been, this has been, this has been, this has been. My parents were this. I did that. I did this. This that happened to me. This was done to me. This, all that stuff is real, and I'm not belittling it, but I'm just telling you. You're going to go move from the wind of childhood and put away childish things and move on to a maturity and adulthood and get that bigger garment God wants to get with you. Just tell your past to shut up. You've got a Holy Ghost. So, Father, I bless this people today in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you for birthing Ephraims in this place, Lord, where their past is being dealt with and their past is being silenced. And, Lord, I thank you for the Ephraims going to be birthed in this place, the fruitfulness in their lives, the fruitfulness in their marriage, the fruitfulness in their child rearing, the fruitfulness, Lord, in their business, the fruitfulness, Lord, in their spiritual walk, in their giftings, Lord, in their talents of you, Lord, in their relationships and everything they put their hand to. I thank you for fruitfulness and the blessing of God upon them. And Lord, I bless them in the name of the Lord. Everybody said a good amen one more time. Give them a good clap offering in Jesus' name.